is going to burst forth with new wine. This is the way God expects us to get this particular blessing. The way we get this blessing is to give of our substance to the Lord. Give of our first increase to the Lord. This is how this particular verse is going to work, and you're going to get the things that you need out of that verse. We want to go back to Psalms 112:1-3, and it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fear the Lord, that delight greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." Now, saints, listen at how you're going to get this blessing. This is a particular blessing that you want. You know, in the book of Psalms 112:1-3, this is how you're going to get the wealth in this particular verse and chapter. It says, praise. You got to praise God. You got to bless God. You're going to fear the Lord. You're going to delight greatly in his commandments. See, it's work for you to do in this. You're just not going to get it by sitting down, reading the verses, confessing the verses, and thanking God for the verses. Nope. You got to praise him. You got to bless the Lord. You got to fear the Lord. You got to delight yourself greatly in his commandments. That means you got to do those commandments. And it says, then his seed, the person that do this, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. That's your children. They will be mighty upon the earth. It says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. It says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. This is the blessing that when we praise God, bless God, fear the Lord, delight greatly in the Lord's commandments, keep those commandments, then this is when we're going to get the wealth and the riches shall be in our house. And his righteousness endureth forever. We know, saints, that if we want the righteousness of God to endure forever in our home, and that we have these blessings, this wealth and this health is going to be in our house, then we know that we're going to have to do these things. We're going to have to praise him every day. We're going to have to bless his holy name every day. We're going to have to fear the Lord. We're going to have to delight greatly in his commandments. That means just do his commandments. And health and riches will be in our wealth and riches will be in our house. And the second thing we need to do is we need to know that the things that we need to have complete ownership of, we need to have complete ownership of the health and healing of our bodies, minds, soul, and spirits. And the only way we can take complete ownership, the only way we can possess this, is through the Word of God and doing exactly what he says. And we want to talk about health and healing. It says healing is our bread. That's found in Matthew 15:26. It says, Jesus was passing through the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and he met this Canaanite woman. And that's found in Matthew 15:22-28. And it says, verse 22 says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and blessed and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cry after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it's not fit to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And verse 27 said, she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very day. See, we know that God is, it's not hard to get into God to get the things that we need. It's not hard to do that. God is willing and able and ready to do all the things that we need to do. But we have to stand in faith, believing that when we say something to God, God will do what he said he would do according to his word. That's why it's important to take the word of God. You cannot use your words to pray. You cannot use your words to get the things you want. You're going to have to use the word of God, because the principles are already built in the word to give you exactly what you're going for. That's why he says he doesn't honor anything but his word. So saints of God, we need to take the word of God in with us when we go to pray. And this is how we're going to possess the things of God.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Ask your neighbor. Neighbor, how thankful are you? If you have another neighbor, ask that neighbor. And if you ain't got no neighbor, say, self, how thankful am I? Amen. Because it's important to understand. The late Reverend Freddie Dunn used to say that impacted me many, many years ago. Young in ministry, used to say, thanks opens up the door for more. Thanks opens up the door for more. See, if you're not grateful for what you've already got, if you're not thankful for what the Lord has done or people have done, what usually winds up happening is the door that was open in the beginning begins to shut close. Because you don't know, and hear me when I say this, you don't know what people go through to make a sacrifice for you. You know, they might not let you know they did that with their last. They may not let you know that they had to rearrange some stuff to be a blessing to you. They may not let you know that they had to give up something for themselves in order to be a blessing to you. And when you take that, I mean, amen, a little of nothing. If you take that to be insignificant, no matter how small it may be, it may have cost them much. And so it's important, very important, to make sure that you keep in the forefront of your mind the spirit of thanksgiving, spirit of gratitude. Now listen, God all through the Word has to deal with His people on the same issue. Because again, let me ask a question. How many of you in this house tonight can say God has been good to you? All right, hands go up. And a whole lot of you raise your hands up just because I asked a question, not because it's an experiential reality that you give Him thanks and praise for. You know what I'm saying? You've got issues when you have to beg folk to thank Him and to praise Him for what He's done in His house. And these are the same folk He woke up this morning, opened doors for, made way, gave favor to, I mean healed their bodies, and on and on and on. These are the same folk that are asking, got requesting right now, Lord, I need you to do this, Lord, I need you to do that, Lord, please help me this, Lord, please help. People right now don't know how to be thankful. That's one hindrance to your next blessing being realized. And so I'm trying to help us to understand, if God has issues with it, it's though we know it, it's worth revisiting again so that He'll refresh us. Do you know why, incidentally and parenthetically speaking, do you know why the Lord hadn't given us another Bible other than this one? Anybody in here? We ain't even got this first one together yet. We've got to revisit issues in here. We think we know, but if we know it, then we'd be doing it. So He leaves this one here for us. And I tell you what, when you get this one down pat, get it all together, He's going to promote you right on up to His presence continually. Amen. He ain't going to write another one. He's going to bring you on up to where He is. All right. Let's look at Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 92. Now, the psalmist is speaking here, and again, it's important because what is represented in Scripture is important for us to see again. The Scripture says, verse 1 of Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and conjunction, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Listen. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. This is the word of the Lord that says it is a good thing again to give thanks. Now, why is it a good thing? I just want to involve you in the study tonight before I move further. Why is it a good thing? Let me get some hands and give me an explanation for why you think it's a good thing to give thanks from your own expression, from your own experience. Yes, Sister Combs. Woke you up close and you're right. You're right. Some folk got up this morning crazy. You are absolutely right. And I know that's not the politically correct term, but you know that is a reality, Brother A.D.
I appreciate what you got for me.
Amen. Amen. It's a good thing to give thanks because you appreciate what He's done for you. Somebody else. All right, Sister Williams. Amen. That's right. The things He has done for us, He did many, many of them He did not have to do because, again, He is sovereign, but He did them in spite of us as well. See your hands somewhere? Okay. Amen. And that's keeping it real. I want Him to keep on doing what He's doing. Amen. Some of us try to act all holy. No, I just thank Him. He, you know, no, a whole lot of us know I'm thanking Him. Amen. Keep the windows open, the doors open, keep the flow going. Lord, keep doing what you're doing. Because the reality is, again, you want Him to continue on doing. He wants your praise. He don't mind giving you the prize. And when you understand that, you give Him what He wants. He doesn't have a problem giving you what you want. That's a reality. Somebody else. Okay. He inhabits the praises. He lives in, He dwells in the praises of His people. Now keep in mind, other folk can't praise Him. That's why He inhabits. That's why He gets inside your praise and in your thanks, because you have got to experience Him to be qualified to and authenticated to be able to give Him thanks and praise. Listen, He's too good of a God, too just of a God to accept praise and thanks for something He don't deserve. Realize that now. And that's another reason why, and I want to throw this out as a helpful holy hint to you, that's another reason why after your petition, when you pray according to the word, you immediately engage in praise, because John has recorded that if we know that he hears us when we pray, we know we have the answer to that petition already. So if we know we're praying according to the will of God and we know we have the answer, why do we have to delay the praise? Just kind of hook the praise on up after the amen. Because what God is too just to do is to receive praise from something he didn't do, or thanks for something he didn't give. So that only hastens and that sanctions the fact that you know he's that kind of God, that he's faithful, he's not a man that he should lie, that he's going to back up what he said. And so when you praise him and thank him in advance, it hastens to you what God has promised. Amen. One more, two more, and then we're going to move on. All right, sis? Amen. Amen. Praise him because he loves us, and thank him because he loves us when we were unlovely. Amen. All right, brother? Say that again. He wants the praise to be a weapon. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because, yeah, amen. He, brother say he wants that praise to be a weapon, because, you know, the devil, again, tries to keep us from praising and thanking God. And so, amen. So when the devil say he ain't gonna praise you, he ain't gonna, she ain't gonna praise you, and you give him praise and glory, amen. God uses that, amen. Even though it really ain't got much to do with the devil, because it's a one-on-one, it's a private conversation, amen. God does brag on his people to the devil when the devil brings issues up before God on us, etc. Amen. All right. Well, again, look at what the word says. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Now, again, we just want to start through these points again. Thanks is a good thing, and the reason it's thanks is a good thing, we've just gone through many of the examples, many of the persons who have said. But then it says something else. Thanks is a partner to praise. When you thank, you say, you're speaking it. But when you praise, in this saying, it says sing. So it's talking about singing, because that again should reinforce what you're saying, and then what you're singing is again a reinforcement to what you're saying. You can't say one thing and sing another. You can't say, thank you, Lord, for bread on my table, and then talk about nobody, no trouble. And you know, you can't go with all that old pitiful stuff. Then if you're going to praise him and thank him and give him glory for what he's done and what he's doing, then those songs, again, and that's another thing I want to just throw out parenthetically and touch on as well. Do you know what you sing is or should be an experiential reality to what you've experienced? I mean, songs are words. And so when you speak songs or sing songs, you are giving credence to experiences just like the words you speak out of your mouth. But now here, the songs are directed toward God. And in the purpose of singing here, praise is the objective. So that means, again, when you are thankful, you don't have to sing songs that are already written. Because there are some things God has done for me, ain't nobody recorded yet. That's why the Bible says sing a new song. Some of you all need to invest in some new songs. And that comes, many of them, out of your own experience. Amen. You know, and so again, that's just an affirmation to many of the things that God is saying. And then it says in verse 2, it says, to show forth thy loving kindness. When? In the morning, and thy what? Faithfulness every night. See, again, it's really talking about a spirit of thanksgiving. It's talking about a mind and mentality of thanksgiving. It's not just talking about just saying some words that come out of your mouth. But when you really envelop yourself in the spirit of thanksgiving, it's not going to end with a Lord, thank you for this, and you're through with that. No, it's because when you think of his goodness and all he's done for you, it's going to evoke out of you some praise. Thanks is just the beginning of that that follows in the praise. It's a continuation of being grateful to God. So I would say is thanks shows gratitude. It shows gratitude. God has shown his part, but what part are you going to show? How thankful are you really? Because again, those things that we are not thankful for usually have an exit out of our lives. Did you hear what I just said? Just try not being thankful and grateful for some things that you've taken for granted or some things that you've asked the Lord for and then become unappreciative of those things and watch how they have a way of either diminishing in your life or exiting out of your life when you're not grateful and thankful for them. And how many of you know the old saying, you never miss your water? You see, when you got a well of water and you can get it anytime you want, you don't appreciate when you go there and thanking God for a refreshing cup of water. Every time you go to the well, it's like, well, I thanked him for the well. That's when you were digging the well, but you're not realizing how that well continually refreshes you. And every new cup from the well is another reason to say thank you for it. It's like the little boy who said, you know, grace over food, and then the next night they had leftovers, and he just started eating. And mama said, why aren't you saying? He said, because I said thank you for that yesterday. And mama said, no, but it's nourishing you again today. So you got, if he keeps blessing you over with the same blessing, you keep saying thank you over for the same blessing again. Amen. So again, Thanksgiving becomes an integral part of your life, and you will find that your attitude will change toward life. When you become, when you begin to thank him and be grateful, you become positive, gracious, loving, and humble. Now, all of these things happen to the one who is thankful. You see, thanks that leaves your lips never leaves your life. Thanks. When you say thank you, whether it's to God, to man, to you know, loved ones, friends, family, whomever, It causes an effect upon you. And it changes your attitude toward life because what it does is it literally makes you more thankful. And if you become more thankful, then you can't help but become more thankful. The reason why a whole lot of folk are not thankful is because they don't think about it. But if you take some time out, I promise you, every day of your life, if you took some time out and just wrote down some things to be thankful for, different from the day before. And there are some things that are constant that you're thinking for. Like Sister Cope said, waking me up in the morning. Every morning he wake you up ought to have a list of your saying thank you for. And the list just goes on with, Lord, I thank you for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Jesus Christ. It begins there with what God has done for you. And yet it continues on. And here's the thing about it, because when he talks about it, shows forth his loving kindness. And all of these things, the reality is, though he wakes you up and you get started in your day, somewhere during the day, your mind reverts back again to his goodness to you. And so that after you have said it, it's not over because you reinforce it through the singing of praises. Now, again, not many of us practice that. And again, it's so easy to do, just like we train our minds and our mouths to sing and say everything else. We can train them to be thankful and praiseful. Listen, I want you to show you some scriptures right quick on giving thanks, and I want to walk through the word. 95 and 2, still in Psalms. Psalms 95 and 2. It says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving or giving thanks and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Listen at this. Now, and psalms here literally means songs. So when it says with psalms, it means songs. So it would read at the end of that, make a joyful noise unto him with songs. Now, how many of you know when you are in praise to God and it is a personal praise? And here, this again has to do with a call to worship of the Lord. Now, whether that's in private worship or public worship, how many of you know that that is a difference there between that and singing in the choir? See, You know, the songs I sing in the choir as a choir member differ many times from the songs I sing in my personal praise or even corporate praise. But here's the thing. My songs might sound like noise to my neighbor. But they're a joyful noise to the Lord. It may not make no sense to you, and you might be trying to tune me out because I'm throwing you off key, but the Lord is rejoicing in that joyful noise. I ain't got to try out for a choir when I'm singing praise to God, giving God thanks and giving God glory. And that's why nobody has an excuse not to praise Him individually. You know, sometimes when praise is going on and you're watching people, because you can't help it, because you're wondering, like, are they not getting this? And those who are sitting there with a sour look on their face need to praise Him more than anybody else. I mean, when they can't lift up holy hands, or they stand up because they're made to stand up, not because they are evoked out of the goodness of God for them and in their lives, but because they'll be made ashamed if they don't stand up and they just kind of wait until praise is over with, just watching you. Now, I have issues with folk like that, but God has greater issues. Because what they don't understand is that is a part of an expression that God wants from every person who's a part of the body of Christ. Praise is not left up to the praise singers. Praise, according to Scripture, is left up to God's people. And so praise is an integral part of your worship experience, whether it's private or public. And so that's why you've got to understand, you know, again, you make a joyful noise. You may not know all the words to a song. How many of you, when you're singing them worldly songs and you get to the parts you don't know, you start humming? Well, you just hum on through that part till you catch the part back, until they get back to the chorus, and then you jump on in the chorus and go on with it. It's a joyful noise. Listen again to what it says. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Now, let me tell you what the word says here. If it's really real, if I am in the spirit of thanks and praise, if I am grateful for what God has done, listen, when I get to His house, it ought to be a continuation of what started at my house. When I got up and when I got myself together and went before Him and started into that era of praising and so forth, it's a continuation. So when I get to His house, ain't nobody got to make me praise Him. I'm just continuing on. So then, as the word says, I come before His presence with thanksgiving, listen, and I make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. I want to go to another scripture right quick and share something else with you. Psalms 105:1. You know these psalms. You know these psalms. Look at what the word says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks. Oh, emphatically, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, this is ushering us into, again, a spirit of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. If it's anybody you ought to be thankful to, it ought to be God. Now, listen again, because I want you to see. Call upon His name. Well, a whole lot of us don't have a problem with that part. Soon as something happens, first thing we have. Lord have mercy. Well, maybe if you had praised Him before you got to that part, that Lord have mercy part wouldn't be as necessary, because you can call upon His name not so much with petition but with praise. And listen to what He goes on to say. It says, make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds. Make publish, broadcast, talk, sing, spread the news of God's. See, you know what? When the Spirit evokes a praise out of you or a thanksgiving out of you, He always does it twofoldly initially. One, for the glory of God. But after God gets the glory, it's always for your good or those surrounding or connected to you. See, it's how many of you know what the difference between praising and bragging is? Well, I'll tell you just in case you don't know. Praising is when I give